You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. And I am... I was listening to Ro Khan's show earlier today with Ana de Vantes, and Tom Skilling was saying, Esmeralda, we're going to get snow Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, possibly all 3 days. It's going to get colder. It'll be colder next week than it is today and tomorrow.
Well, that's good, because my boots aren't really doing their job.
Right.
So I can put my snow boots on and not look ridiculous.
Right? You feel like there's not enough snow to warrant the...
Not yet. There will be next week.
There will be next week. It's coming. Winter is coming, as the Game of Thrones memes are telling us. I have been fortunate enough to have a listener in Italy named Davide, who Bennett is learning how to speak English by listening to this show on his way to work. And because it's about 8 o'clock in the morning when he tunes in, and he said that and I feel badly about that because, one, I speak quickly. Two, I was raised in Chicago, and we have our own way of talking. And three, my mother is from Mexico, which has an effect on my language development when I was little. Learning how to speak from someone who learned English as a second language also sometimes makes me doubt how I pronounce things, like crocodile. Because in Spanish you say crocodil, and I still have to stop right when I get to the word to make sure I'm saying it correctly. So I don't know. I don't know what kind of accent I have. I'm sort of amalgamation. Maybe Ted McClellan, who is presented this week actually the How to Speak Midwestern at the Book Bug. But tonight we're talking to him. He's an author. Hey Ted, how are you doing tonight?
Hey.
Hey.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's still night. Where are you?
Well, I'm in Michigan.
Okay,
so morning in Michigan.
It's 12:20 in Michigan. Fair enough.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about this, because I know I don't know if I say pop. I think I like to think I say pop instead of or can and not can.
Sure, sure. But you're on the radio.
Yes.
You have to learn to speak in a neutral way. You're speaking broadcaster English.
Esmeralda, would you say that I've learned how to speak proper English?
You're getting there.
I'm getting there. I say Wisconsin with a G. That's one of the things that Chicagoans, I think, do.
With a G?
Yeah, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. I see Wisconsin.
Right. And the
Wisconsin.
Yes. I'm not going to practice it.
Big accent in the middle.
I see with that part.
Yeah, exactly.
So how can one learn how to speak Midwestern? Is that a preferred sort of region to mimic?
Well, it depends. It kind of was traditionally the sort of the neutral broadcast English, but in the last few generations, there's been this trend called the Northern Cities Vowel Shift that's made Midwestern speech more distinctive. And it's kind of what you were talking about a minute ago, where people will say pop, or where people will say a can, or absolutely. You know, those right. kind of sharp A sounds and drawn out O sounds have really become distinctive features of Midwestern speech, and they're really going to identify you as being from someplace like Michigan or Chicago or Buffalo or Milwaukee or Cleveland.
And these are things that you describe as being vowel shifts. And, you know, is it something that once someone recognizes it, are people almost like overly sort of hypersensitive to their own way of speaking?
You know, a lot of Midwesterners don't think they have an accent, especially I quote a linguist in the book who says that Michiganders especially are notable for thinking they don't have an accent. He did his doctoral thesis at the University of Michigan, and students in his classes would always say, well, why don't we have an accent? Definitely in the Michigan way of speaking.
Right? I always think that people in Michigan, especially the farther north you go, people in Michigan seem to have an accent.
Or if you go all the way to the UP.
Yes.
You know, they definitely got their own way of speaking up there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, hey there. There seems to be a little bit of that.
Yeah, hey there. Well, yeah, that's in Wisconsin.
See, and that's the thing. I think that I do blend those, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, but there are obviously regional differences.
Yeah, but if I talk about three different dialect regions in the book. There's the Inland North, which is the region that Chicago is in, and that goes all the way from Rochester, New York on the east to Milwaukee on the west. And then there's the North Central, which is the Upper Peninsula of Michigan and Northern Wisconsin and northern Minnesota. So that's where you'll hear the hey there and the A and the, what do you know?
Right?
Kind of talk.
And
there's the Midlands, which is our friends in central Illinois, and they'll say things like milk and warsh.
Okay, that's something that my dad would do. My dad never said milk or pillow, because some people seem to say pillow as well. But where does the warsh, where does that R come from? Because my dad did that, and he was a Southside Chicago kid that grew up on the north side eventually. What is that?
Well, that supposedly came from the way people in eastern Pennsylvania would say, they'd talk about water.
Right.
And then there was that O sound, and it sounded like it could have taken an R in there, so that sort of O sound, water whoosh.
Right.
So it kind of transformed to whoosh. And now you don't hear it as much as you used to. You hear it among older people. My stepmom is from Granite City, Illinois, and she says whoosh.
Yeah.
And then there's an announcer for the St. Louis Cardinals, Mike Shannon. He always talks about how they're going to play the Washington Nationals.
I wonder how many people tweeted him. There's no R in Washington.
Oh, they all think there is in St. Louis.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
So it's kind of that band that runs through Illinois that reaches obviously through parts of Missouri then.
Yes. It's called the Midland accent zone.
In your book, you have chapters that you can talk. Why would I want to talk through my nose? Is one of the chapters that you have.
Oh, why would you want to talk?
Yes.
I don't know, but that's what we all do here.
We all do. Wait.
That's what I do. I say that if you want to learn to talk like a Midwesterner, just pretend that your lower jaw just doesn't exist, and then talk like you're just talking through the top part of your face. There's
everyone's trying to right now. People who live in the Midwest are like, wait a minute, how do I? What am I doing? I'm not moving. So are we mostly moving our lips and not? Because I see some people when they talk, they almost look like they're chewing. Is that what they're doing when they're engaging their jaw?
Well, I'm just kind of trying to help people emphasize the nasality.
Okay,
that's necessary for having a true Midwestern accent. There's some people have been said that Midwesterners, especially people from Michigan, they sound like pirates with head colds because they also really emphasize their R sounds. Well, I'm going out to the garage, and I'm going to look at the car and work on the engine.
Oh, I see. I can hear that. I can hear it a little bit up in the upper part. And it's there are also differences. There are words that people will go crazy about with each other, like roof and roof are two. Is that, which one is more the Midwestern? Do you have a thought on that?
I'm up on the roof.
Roof?
I'm trying to think which one. I'm up on the roof. I guess I say roof.
You say roof.
I don't know. Yeah.
I say.
I don't hear. I didn't really get into the roof thing. One thing, two words that people disagree about the pronunciation are C-O-T and C-A-U-H-T. People from this
caught?
Part of the country are yeah.
Okay. What's the other way of saying it?
Well, how would you say the two words?
What were the two words?
C-O-T and C-A-U-G-H-T.
I would say caught and caught.
Cot?
Yeah,
oh, cot and...
a slight difference in the cot and
like
cot.
Cot and caught. Yes.
Yeah.
There should ought. Yeah, there should be an ought in caught because that's how it's spelled. And cot. Yes.
Right, right. But most people say them the same throughout the country.
Caught and caught. Oh, yeah. I could see them doing that. See?
Yeah. they call that the – it's not a merger when I say it. They call it the cot-caught merger. But here in the inland north zone, we say them differently, and it's kind of unique in the United States. So
see,
that's a way to tell if someone's from at least this part of the Midwest.
Well, and that's the thing, too, is that whenever someone tries – no one ever really tries to guess where I'm from. I think that, one, I speak too quickly for anyone to really try to grab out any words. But then mm-hmm. I think it's fascinating to think about how these, you know, as you mentioned, parts of Pennsylvania having an effect on the parts of Illinois and Missouri – the Midland, right? I think it's a great examination of history. And I see that you have some other books. Do you want to tell our listeners about some of the books that you've written as well?
Well, yeah, I guess they kind of informed this one. I mean, I wrote a book called the Third Coast, which was about a 10,000-mile journey around all five Great Lakes. And, of course, I picked up a lot of the slang that I put in the book by traveling through Wisconsin and the Upper Peninsula and Minnesota and then back through New York and Ohio. I wrote a book called Nothing But Blue Skies, which was a history of the Rust Belt that kind of covered the same territory. So, I mean, this is sort of an ongoing project of writing about the Midwest. And, you know, as you talked about the history and, you know, all the different dialect regions I wrote about all are based on some pattern of European settlement. You know, as you pointed out, the Scots-Irish who came through Baltimore and Philadelphia, then they moved across Pennsylvania and across Indiana and Ohio and Illinois, and so they had their own language system. And then the inland north was spread by New Englanders coming from Vermont and upstate New York, moving west. And then the north central accent, the north country accent, that comes from the Scandinavians and the Germans. So yeah, these all have there's all a lot of history and ethnography in looking at this.
You know, it's fascinating. And as you mentioned, the Irish Scots who moved through Pennsylvania, that would make sense for my dad, who was second generation.
Right.
He was actually second generation Irish. So that kind of puts that
right
in place as to why he said Warsh. Well, I loved
right
having this conversation with you. And I don't know if you're coming through Chicago anytime soon, but it sounds like a lot about what you write has an impact right now, considering the fact that so many people talk about this sort of disconnect between the urban and rural. And you're covering so much of the heartland, the Rust Belt, as you mentioned, the Third Coast around the Great Lakes. I think a lot of the work that you have done probably informs you probably have a pretty good idea of what's going on with, you know, those who felt left behind in this last election year. Do you kind of get that feeling?
Well, I would think that actually the last book I wrote, Nothing But Blue Skies, kind of would give a better picture of that, because that was specifically about the Rust Belt and about, you know, towns like, you know, Buffalo or Gary or Cleveland that had been left behind in the, you know, in the deindustrialization and the globalization of America, Decatur, Illinois, where I lived for several years. But you're talking about the Scots-Irish, and I want to bring up a very special word that's known in Chicago and also known in Pittsburgh, and that's the word jagoff. It's not an obscene word.
No, I know. My producer looked up and I was like, that's fine. That's a yes. What is, before I let you go, what's the origin for the word jagoff? And that's not why we're letting you go. We just ran out of time. But I do. Now I'm fascinated.
Oh, okay.
Because I know that Nick D is going to be upset that he wasn't talking to you about the origin. Go ahead.
It's from the word jag, which means a thorn or to prick somebody.
Okay.
So, you know, a jagoff is an irritating person. So you're kind of, you know, prick somebody, someone who needles you or irritates you.
I love that. I love knowing that its origin are completely, it's almost pure in that sense.
All the way back to Northern Ireland.
Oh, perfect. Now I know. It's one of my favorite ways of insulting somebody actually has
exactly
some roots in my ancestry. That's fantastic.
Well, yeah.
Ted, I look forward to having you on the show again. And can we tell people where to find your books?
You can get them from the publisher, Belt Publishing. You can get them at the bookseller where I did a reading last week. That's an excellent place to buy a copy. It's in Lincoln Square.
And again, he's written Nothing But Blue Skies and also How to Speak Midwestern. And we look forward to talking to you again, because I think you've got so much information. I think a lot of insight that more of us should learn about each other.
Okay, well, thanks a lot. I'll be doing some more Chicago appearances.
Excellent.